Welcome back, guys. Once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have a fantastic day today. How are you doing today over there?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful, Austin. I mean, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will be glad. I was on with John Moore this morning and about two-thirds asleep. I tried to wake
up. Well, you're up now.
Well, about 20 minutes before the end of the show, I actually woke up. And so I was kind of going by rote memory before then.
When all else fails, just rail like two or three purple sticks.
But no, it takes a minute. 8 o'clock in the morning, it takes me about an hour to really get booted up on purple sticks, and I didn't have that this morning. And so by halfway through the show, I got booted up pretty good. So it's interesting. But there's an article.
He's here, though.
Yeah, okay. There's an article. Do you want to start with the part?
Well, I got to cover something. I need some help, guys. I don't ask for help very much, but you know when I ask for help, I need it. So last week, we had an issue with the app that does the product of the week voting, right? You guys know the product of the week. You go on, you vote for it, it wins. Well, it was going back and forth between what we added for the new one and the old one, and it wasn't collecting any votes for the new setup. And so we got it fixed on Tuesday. The problem with it was it didn't really get enough definitive votes to make a decision on what was going to win this week now. And so it's been kind of skewed. So I need some help today. It's Thursday. I just need a final basis on this. I need you guys to go by like 3 o'clock today and vote for what you want to win. And I mean, I need everybody to vote on this here because I was looking at it earlier and I was trying to get some stuff to go through and it's working. Everything's working perfect now, but here's my problem.
39 and 40.
It's been going back and forth all morning. So it's like 32, 33, 34, 33. And so it's going back and forth. I need you guys to break the ice by 3 o'clock. And now here's the best way for you guys to do that is get everybody you know that likes Health Masters. Even people don't even know about Health Masters, send them a link. Tell them the product you want them to vote for because I don't like skewing anything. And we had the glitch earlier this week. It's fixed, but I don't want to go in here and make an executive decision and say, well, it was this one, and then I click back on it again in 2 minutes, and it switched.
Well, the problem is that both those products are fantastic.
I know.
I use the Purple 6 every day. I use the GHI every day. I have no more spots on my hands. And
it's two staple items.
Yeah.
But I want a true definitive guarantee this is the one you guys want winning. And I know, like I said, a lot of them weren't counting earlier this week. So everything is updated on here. All the votes are counting now. So I'm going to give you guys about 4 hours. Send it out. Get everybody. Vote for what you want. And I want one to definitively win by through this afternoon.
Well, why don't you, if they don't have a definitive answer, why don't you just put both of them on sale?
I can't do that.
Oh.
Well, I could, but I'm not going to.
Oh.
Because I'm real funny. You know, I get OCD sometimes. I want, product of the week has always been this way.
You got that from my mom.
Yeah. It doesn't work for me. I have to have a definitive win.
That's 25% of your DNA, by the way.
I'm well aware. Mom, I'm almost cool.
Alma.
She was cool.
You mean Oma was cool?
Well, yeah, but Oma's with the kids now. When I say Oma, yeah. So I need a definitive answer. I want a real winner. I want it to be y'all's vote, but I got to have a hard number on it because I keep going back and forth all morning. So it's up to you guys. You got 4 hours. Send it who you want. Get it voted. Every vote counts on here. And by 3 o'clock, I'm going to give a hard winner on here.
Oma, my mom.
Your mom.
She always had something interesting to say. I think it was from Goebbels.
Some of y'all get that.
I'm not joking. She said, if you give up, you lose.
Yeah. You're always in the fight.
Yeah. She says, once you quit, you lose. And, when I was young, and she'd say stuff like that to me. I didn't know she was quoting Goebbels. And I didn't know. And because she was over in Germany during.
I mean, she's not wrong, though.
Yeah.
You know.
And she was right.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is you can't tell everybody you got super secret, super weapons coming in, and they don't exist. You can't do that.
Well, or they were in production, and they just...
Well, and then, well, the problem is, once you tell the population that it's over, they stop deciding that they're going to go to the trenches. And so you got to keep the problem. So I always got a kick out of that when she'd say that, because I never really understood where that came from, but she was indoctrinated with that. And
but it's not inaccurate though. At the same time,
yeah,
you give up. If you're saying, well, you know what, I don't want to worry about my health anymore. I'm 50 pounds overweight. I'm giving up now. I'm just going to keep eating all day.
They're giving his mansion away.
Who's
Goebbels?
Really giving it away?
Yeah, it's a
historical site, isn't it?
Well, no, it's unbelievably big. It's a castle.
No,
And it's just, I forgot, there's like 70 rooms, I think. It's huge.
Oh, that sounds like it's fun to maintain.
Well, that's the problem. Nobody's lived in it. Nobody's lived there for 25 years. And Germany doesn't know what to do with it because they don't want to tear it down because it's a historical site. And so they're saying,
they want somebody to take it or retain it.
We will give it away to you if you will maintain it, but we will not give it to a right-wing group.
Why not?
Because they don't want to turn it into a bed and breakfast for neo-Nazis.
All the bedspread covers
have swastikas on the covers.
Oh,
they probably packed that place out, but they won't do. But they said they literally give it away. So they said it's going to take about $50 million to restore it.
Ooh, well, I remember you were there with your friends that one time. They were looking at those chateaus,
castles.
Yeah. And that one guy said it was what was just to replace the roof on the barn was $250,000.
No, $500,000.
Yeah, it's just the barn, just a little barn
because
section.
It was in France, and they had this thing that you couldn't. The whole things were historical monuments. The castle's like 400 or 500 years old, right? And it had like 17 bedrooms and 17 bathrooms. The problem is you couldn't do anything to the outside of the building without the approval of France.
Oh, gosh.
Now, they would subsidize up to 50%, but you had to do it back to standards, back to the way it used to be. And the barn needed a roof. That was $500,000. I remember I started laughing, and all the front windows of the barn were out. That was another $300,000. And you think, here's a problem.
Reminds me of that film, The Money Pit, with Tom Hanks.
My gosh. Well, no, and the problem was, I did some back research on this one castle this guy was looking at, and the wife was living there alone in this giant castle, four stories high. Beautiful, but they had sold all the land off over the decades and years, had been around for centuries, to keep maintenance going. And then the problem is they had run out of land to sell. They still had about 100 acres, but that was about it. It was on a river, real pretty. And it was crazy because it was going to cost $2 to $3 million just to bring it back up to par. I mean,
that's crazy.
You know how, like, you know, it's a 40,000 square foot castle, right? In interior air conditioned space. Well, it's not even air conditioned. The walls were 3 feet thick. And that they said that
I was going to say on buildings like that, what is the HVAC system? Do they need it? Or does it stay pretty cool?
Well, I was there in March, so it was pretty cool inside. But it was interesting. It had a full basement in, like, some kind of dungeon. It was weird.
Some torture chamber 500 years ago.
It had a cat running around in there. Cool cat. I think we get to keep the rats out. But it was a huge place. But it was just a giant, unbelievable money pit. It had a closed swimming pool. But the guy basically had bought it for his kids to raise them. Very wealthy, probably financier, not a Paris. And then he found a younger woman, left his wife, abandoned her in the castle. It's not like a doggone.
Sounds like some movie.
Oh my gosh. And she was ready to sell the place.
She's trying to liquidate it.
Oh yeah. And then they were gonna move. She was gonna move in with her mom down the south of France. But it was crazy.
Well, I remember I seeing the listing on it. Because, down here in Florida, average house now, these bizarre prices, $300-$400 a square foot, house down here. He sent me this listing on it, and the place was like 15,000-20,000 square
feet. No, it's 40,000.
40,000 square feet, and they got it listed for, like $3
million. No,
it was
$3
million.
Yeah.
I'm like,
they had it for $5 million, and they dropped it down $2 million because nobody wanted it. It was a money pit.
I'm like, dude, we're talking like $20 a square foot.
Well, the pool had been damaged from some storm, and they had a completely enclosed pool, huge, almost an Olympic-sized pool. And the pool looked okay, but the structure around it was bad. He'd been given $60,000 by the insurance company to fix the pool roof.
Probably didn't touch it.
He didn't touch it.
Yeah.
And he goes, when we close, we'll give you the $60,000 to repair the roof. I'm like, you ain't gonna touch that roof for $60,000. No. All glass. And because, over there, it's cold. But it was interesting. And they had gardens, about 10 acres of gardens with a wall around it.
Oh, that's fun to maintain.
But it wasn't 10 acres of gardens. Those 10 acres of weeds.
Yes.
The weeds.
The weeds always win if you don't keep them at bay.
Oh, no. It was, and so the place was really run down.
Well, a place like that.
My friend said, I don't want this place.
No, the landscape, you're probably going to be $10,000-$15,000 a month in landscape, honestly. It actually have it looking pristine, perfect all the time with that type of acreage.
No, you couldn't touch it for that.
You don't think so?
The whole 100 acres, it'd be bush hogged. I mean, it was awful.
Bush hog's not expensive. It's the huge flower, all the stuff they have there,
and the weed pulling.
Yeah.
People don't realize how. If I found I had these giant flower beds in front of my house, right? And, Sharon didn't want to pull the weeds. Nobody wanted to pull the weeds. And finally, I just said, I tore it all out and put grass there. I said, the heck with it. We'll mow it. You remember that? You learn down here in Florida real quick. You either have full time staff pulling weeds if you have a giant flower bed, or the weeds win.
Well, I remember years ago, it's a family that I knew. They were trying to design a whole back area with the big flower beds.
Oh yeah,
and they showed me. Well, no, we helped them decrease it back.
It was almost 40 feet.
They sent me this kind of rendering of it. Well, the beds go back. It's like 40 feet. It's gonna be all flowers. I looked at it and said, no, that's not happening. So who's going to maintain this? Oh, it's going to look beautiful. It's going to look beautiful for about 2 months. So this thing in Florida happens every year. It's called summer. Yeah, and it rains every day, and the weeds grow exponentially fast, and you can't pull them as fast as they grow. By the time you're done pulling some on one side, the other one's already grown.
Well, no, what she did, I know who you're talking about. She basically put, you know, mulch up there. She put weed cover on it, which is great, and then she planted her plants, and she put, you know, mulch. But the problem is the mulch turns into dirt. Well, now the dirt's on top of the weeds.
Yeah.
The weed cover, and now it starts growing on top.
Weeds.
So now you're trying to pull the weeds up and dig them out. You can't because there's cover underneath it. It turns into a nightmare. The only thing you do, and here's the hint. You ready for the hint? Rubber mulch.
Yeah, you need rubber mulch.
That way it doesn't turn to dirt. Now, eventually, it'll settle. You'll get dust and everything else. Will start doing it again, but it makes it a lot.
What I've done on my place, I had stone. I did rocks. Granite rocks. And what I do is now I hit everything with salt.
You poured concrete everywhere.
Why did I pour concrete everywhere? Then all the stone areas, because I won't use glyphosate. I refuse to use it on my property. So I'll do is I just throw salt in everything. Salt, 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 salt.
But don't put it on the grass because it kills it.
Well, it kills grass. It kills everything. But if you got beds area, got some big plants in them, you got stone, you can use basically rock salt, small chip salt, and load it on there.
Oh,
and
there's an article. I briefly mentioned it a few weeks ago, but I wanted to cover it this morning. It has nothing to do with health or nutrition or politics. You know, the prosperity gospel's real lie has nothing to do with getting rich. And it's a good article. It's got a picture of a preacher up there with handfuls of cash and a private jet and a Bentley behind him and a Rolls Royce. Yeah. And it says, and ask most Christians what's wrong with the prosperity gospel. You'll get the obvious answer. It promises that God would never promise it. Turns the creator of the universe into a cosmic vending machine that dispenses Bentleys and beach houses in exchange for seed offerings mailed to a man with a private jet. Can you see anything false about that? That's pretty true.
Yeah, sounds about accurate.
All worth saying, all beside the deeper point. And it says, the greatest lie of the prosperity theology isn't that God doesn't want to make you rich. It's what riches do once you have them. Wealth whispers that you don't need God anymore. And it whispers so quietly that most people never hear it happening. That deception doesn't just ensnare the people mailing checks to televangelists. It ensnares comfortable Christians who would never dream of watching one. And it talks about Laodicea, the church that needed nothing, and how they were basically, God just really called them out. They were spiritually, you know, destroyed. And here in the United States, it says, here's what this stops being a first century history lesson. We live in the most materially abundant society in human history, the United States of America. Unprecedented access to wealth, technology, comfort, and convenience. And alongside it, record levels of anxiety, Austin. Loneliness is a big deal. Household debt and church attendance at free fall. If the prosperity were spiritually neutral, these two trend lines would run in opposite directions. The Laodicean temptation doesn't affect all just televangelists and their followers. It affects the respectful Christians. And what it's saying basically is stuff is okay. God doesn't mind you having stuff, but God doesn't want stuff to have you. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
And that's the key that people need to understand is that it's okay to have a nice car. It's okay to have a nice house. There's nothing wrong with any of this stuff. But when you tell people, if you're a TV evangelist, let me just hammer them for just a second. If you give me money, you'll be blessed. I know a lot of these TV evangelists. I've actually done a lot of fundraising for them with our books and tapes and CDs over the years, which I don't do anymore. And the crazy part about it is, down on the inside, they're pretty shallow. Most of them. In fact, about 99% of the ones that I know are. There's a few that are pretty decent still. And some of them become megalomaniacs. And they think that everything they say is from the Word of God. It's not. And a lot of them are narcissistic. And that they basically don't make the church better or any church they visit better when they leave. They make it worse. And the reality is God wants you blessed, but he wants you to have a relationship with him through Christ Jesus first. And then you got to watch all of the temptations that come along with the blessings and the free time that you're going to have with that. Very important that you keep your hearts and minds grounded in Christ Jesus. Because he is the author and he is the finisher and he is the perfecter of our faith. By the way, let's go back to somebody who's basically in free fall. Fauci. Oh, my gosh.
Woo!
Hundreds of times yesterday he took the
fifth. Oh, social media has not been nice to him yesterday,
well,
bro.
Boy,
the whole world is looking at him.
And that other senator came in and said, who the blankety blank do you think you were doing what you did? Arresting a woman outside watching a ball game.
Yeah.
I mean, he eviscerated Fauci. Of course, Fauci, I don't think, realized, you know, what was going to happen to him when he was doing this. Because he really thought he was it. He was talking about megalomania.
Yeah.
And now he basically has been beaten down pretty bad. Now, Trump has said that he will not dispute the pardon that Biden gave Fauci. Told you, told you, told you.
Now, here's it. Now it's down to the states. The states will not. They are not. They are not basically handcuffed by that pardon.
Not my federal pardon.
No. That also the states. If you got some states down here, we've been looking at different stuff. I don't know how far it's going to go. You know, basically, DeSantis has not been positive about Fauci at all. So the biggest thing is now is we got to look at basically state felony charges against him. What he did yesterday and his behavior and his attitude, was it the best option for his attorneys told him to do from a legal standpoint? Yeah. Did it make him look like even more of a just slime bucket than he already was?
Somebody needs to be out.
I mean, he didn't even. I mean, here's the problem, because he's in this weird area because he had a federal pardon, but he was the leader of basically the NIAH. And so he had this position where it's like, a pardon doesn't really fall in the area of being able to answer questions about what you were doing at the time you were leading this. It's a very gray area because now he's been subpoenaed by Congress. They're asking him questions about when he was in this federal position, and now he's trying to use the Fifth Amendment, which technically doesn't apply to what his situation was because of his position in power as a federal government agent. So he's got himself really in a rock and a hard place, and good riddance. I hope he continues to get eviscerated, and I hope the states have enough, you know, guts, so should I say, to try to put some charges on this guy. Because, I mean, the problem is he's so smug about it. That's what makes everybody so sick.
He got it. Yeah, the dude looks like a rat in the face.
He is a rat.
And, I mean, and he doesn't want to go to prison. That's why he's doing it. I'll give him credit, though. He's doing a better job than Roger Stone.
Well, it's his attorneys. He's probably got 20 attorneys that are prepped him for that.
They probably said, you shut your stinky mouth and you don't say a word unless you want to go to prison.
Well, the one, I mean, he looked like such a complete total ass, excuse my language. Yes, one of the Congress guys goes, Mr. Fauci, what color's your tie? You see that? He goes, barring some of my attorneys, I put the Fifth Amendment. He asked what color his tie was. He goes, Dr. Fauci, what color's the floor in this room? Fifth Amendment. I mean, the whole time, I'm just complete and total disregard.
Well, see, that's a legal tactic. What they're trying to do is get him to answer some questions and not use the Fifth. And when you take the Fifth, you're supposed to use the Fifth. I remember years ago, I had a witch attack me.
Oh, yeah.
You were there. And we brought her before the, you know, I'm talking real witch.
In attacking what he's referring to, she actually started to send him letters in the mail.
Well, no, she actually slammed a gate into me down at the lake, too. She attacked me.
No, yeah, but the letters were worse, though.
And we took her in before a restraining order hearing. And the judge allowed her to answer certain questions, and then other questions she pleaded the Fifth. And our attorney objected. They said, you can't do that. You're either going to plead the Fifth or you're going to answer questions.
Right.
Ah. But this judge was, I think, compromised, and he allowed her to answer what she wanted to answer and plead the Fifth on the rest of it. And I'm like, okay, this is great. Well, the sad part about it is that you got to ask yourself a question, you know, is Fauci ever going to be held accountable for what he did? With Trump saying that he's going to uphold the pardon that he knows was done with an auto pen, the answer is no, he will never be held accountable. Because he's smart enough, because he's going to leave with his bank account with his multi-millions of dollars and basically live the rest of his life out and get out of public view. If I was Fauci, I would probably leave the United States of America, just saying, find another place that nobody knows who you are, good luck, and basically start a new life. But he's not going to do that because he's too arrogant and he's too smug. So it's sad to me because the same group of people here that have backed Fauci have now said that scientists say we need to have half the Earth's population to 4 billion to save the planet. This reminds me a lot of the Avengers movies with Thanos. Remember, he wanted to wipe out half of the population of the universe, Austin? Remember that? And he got his Infinity Stones. And he snapped that little finger.
Pretty confident Thanos is a little hat. That was funny.
He's a big dude.
He's a big dude. But little hat, big dude.
But the problem, it's funny. It made me laugh. But the reality is that, you know, he took half the population of the entire universe out. And, you know, and people don't realize if you drop the population of the planet to half, you know, we have an infrastructure designed to handle the whole population. And that means we don't need half the infrastructure anymore. Now, it would be nice. Interstate 4 would be nearly as crowded.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. I mean, I remember during COVID that they had most people were staying home locked up like they were a rat in a trap. And it was great. You could drive around and all the toll roads were shut down.
It was great for everybody but them.
Yeah.
Well, it's because we just kind of disregarded everything.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. I'm essential. But, why am I essential? Because I deemed it so. If everybody else wants to deem themselves essential, whatever.
But it goes right back to health and fitness. I mean, the people that are ruling the planet aren't the people. It's the entities on the other side of the veil. I've talked about it so many times. We covered it in Angel Wars. This planet is being ruled by the Satan group, period. It's the Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan. Call it the cult that rules the world. Call it whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Call it fallen angels. Doesn't matter to me. It's that same group. And they think we're a petri dish. We're their food source, by the way, as Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, is what the word says. You can argue with the Bible if you want to say that. And this is the thing that we need to understand, is that until we see the spiritual implications of what we're involved in here, nothing is going to make any sense.
You know what? You know what else devours free radicals?
Exanthin.
This is a topic that got brought up the other day. Somebody asked me about this, about the Hemlocrillo that we have.
That's a great product.
Well, it really, one of the biggest things, is another article just came out, and it says the clinical nutritionists examine exanthin's real evidence on skin, eye, brain, and heart health. And they said one of the biggest things you got to look at.
That was a good segue getting me off the weird topic. That was good.
Like that?
Yeah, I like that.
it is weird. It said, what's the difference between basically, because a lot of times now you got to watch out because they're getting exanthin from farm-raised salmon.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
Now, ours is basically saltwater shrimp, krill, is what they get it from. So ours, like, way, way out in the water. But the thing is, you gotta watch out, because I said Farm Atlantic Salmon has small amounts of exanthin, but a lot of the cheap versions are also using it, that are feeding them algae-based additives to try to increase certain nutrient densities in these farm-raised salmon, so they're getting exanthin. Ours are straight from wild krill, which is the best option to get exanthin, and it really helps out. This is because it's fat soluble. Absorption depends on the product's form and taking it with food. This is a big factor with exanthin. To get the best option out of our Himla krill oil, you want to take it with a meal because it's fat soluble. Same thing with D3. Majority of the products that you take that are like oil fat based, like CoQ10, D3, exanthin, you want to take them with a meal. Other ones you can take without a meal, say like magnesium brain food. You can take that on an empty stomach anytime you want. It's magnesium. Your body needs it at any point in shape or time. It doesn't need food to digest it. This is an interesting article I'm posting on the website. It said a controlled human trial found that taking 4 milligrams to 12 milligrams of exanthin per day for 8 to 16 weeks can reduce skin redness from ultraviolet sun exposure, improve skin moisture, and help strengthen the skin's protective barrier. Exanthin is not Botox in a pill. However, exanthin is a support supplement to be used alongside other nutrients. So I thought I would bring that up because I had somebody ask about that krill oil and what it does and why we carry it. Because, you know, again, it's a crustacean-based, right? It's from krill, or basically it's kind of like a shrimp. So we always talk about that. That's not a clean food to eat, shrimp, but this product is not taking shrimp. Let me clarify that. This is a very, very highly, highly basically molecularized exanthin krill oil that's based from that, but there is no aspect of like going out and eating shrimp with it. It's very, very purified. It's clean as it can possibly get.
You're still getting letters.
That's fine. I can get letters all I want, but I'm letting you know because I had somebody ask me this, so I'm addressing it on the show. Because a lot of times when I get two or three of the same emails, I just like to answer them on the show. Because if I get two or three emails from two or three different people on the same topic, that means there's a lot of other people thinking the same question.
Gonna get letters.
Honestly, well, by the way,
well,
I carry it for a reason.
Well, here's another way I look at it. A lot of people have to take insulin.
Yeah.
A lot of people have to use pork insulin.
Yeah.
I'm not eating pork. But if I was allergic to regular insulin, I had to use pork insulin and I had to use it to stay alive, you got to use it. That's how I look at it.
It is a big, you're not going to get trichinosis from using pork insulin.
No.
Just like you're not going to get basically, you know, sick from eating exanthin from krill oil in most cases, unless you got some allergy to crustaceans.
Unless you're chewing on the krill themselves, that'd be kind of...
That's a different story.
Oh, by the way, Simple Science Back Technique says it can squash alcohol cravings. Okay, what it says is that if you start wanting alcohol, you've got to breathe deep. I'm not going to post this article. Okay?
Please don't post that article.
No. I'm going to stop for a second. Okay, what they're doing is they're using an interruptive type of therapy in which you have to stop and think and breathe.
Correct.
Okay, and I got that.
Wait, I'm not saying you don't do that.
No,
you could do it, but I don't.
But almost every single time that you've got a person who's got a problem with alcoholism, they're hypoglycemic.
Most cases.
They really are, most cases. And, you know, we talked about that the other day about the cortisol and all stuff. Austin did an excellent job 2 weeks ago talking about this. So here's the thing. If you've got a craving for food or for alcohol, for anything that you know is not healthy for you, try to find out if you've got a deficiency, like maybe chromium. Okay? And yeah, or maybe your
insulin. That's why it's in our cinnamon extract. The cinnamon extract is one of the best formulas that I've gotten feedback on from people that have had issues with alcoholism or alcohol cravings or sugar cravings. They hit the body the same way, by the way. alcohol cravings and sugar cravings work on the exact same mechanisms in the body. That's why you got to understand, you got to look at it again from the root base cause. If you're having these alcohol cravings, look at what you're eating, look at what your blood sugar is doing, and look at what your insulin is doing, and go work accordingly from there. That's why the cinnamon extract can work in some cases with helping those cravings. Alpha lipoic acid, chromium, aquaceous cinnamon extract, a few other nutrients. I don't have a front, I can pull it up, but it really helps to stabilize blood sugar and also reduces sugar cravings, which also reduces alcohol cravings. That's a great option on there.
Well, I knew one lady, and she was an alcoholic when she was younger. And the lady made really bad choices. I mean, all the time, and she'd eat a bucket of Lifesavers every day. And, of course, she got obese. And you're like, well, why do you think she was craving the sugar? It was the sugar. And the alcoholism was just an indication of that. So be really, really careful. Now, I'm going to say something to you. About 10% of the population of the planet is genetically predisposed to become alcoholics if they start drinking. It's pretty good. That's a huge number. And you're talking about almost, you know, a billion people on the planet can be alcoholics. Be real careful with this. I mean, don't be going out. If you got a mom or a dad or somebody in your family who's a drunk, and you know if I'm talking to you because my mom had a problem with alcohol. And of course, she had terrible PTSD from what happened in Germany. But she was, you know, she self-medicated. And a lot of people use alcohol to self-medicate. Of course, quite frankly, they're trying to get rid of the memories or they're trying to sleep or whatever. Don't allow yourself to get into that trap. More and more and increasingly larger amounts of alcohol, especially if you're hypoglycemic. Just stay away from that stuff and avoid the alcohol to start with. It's a lot easier to avoid something that's addictive than it is trying to get off of it, like with meth, you know, and crystal meth and all the rest of stuff.
Whoa!
No, you just listen to me.
Strong segue.
They say one inhalation, one time. You do it one time, you're hooked.
Yeah, you're always going to crave it.
Well, wait a minute. Alcohol's not like that, but crap. But anything that does that to you needs to be avoided. In other words, don't try meth to see if you get addicted to it. Just don't try it. Am I right?
You're not wrong.
And if you got family members that are drunks, maybe you don't want to drink.
Well, and also do your research as far as don't try to make excuses, own something. Don't sit there and go, well, you know, the reason why I drink every night and I drink three bottles of wine is because it's got resveratrol and it's good for my heart.
Well, no, I've got a friend of mine. His brother's an alcoholic, almost died from alcohol. His mother's an alcoholic, and he wouldn't touch alcohol for nothing. And all of a sudden, he started drinking wine. Now he's got a wine cellar. And then his wife told me he gets drunk every night. I mean, he fell into that trap, and now he wants to be that connoisseur of fine wines. Now he owns a winery, and you're like, what the heck just happened to you? You never, one time you wouldn't even touch it. It's the little things, the little failings, little foxes that spoil the vines. If you're going to be around people that drink, and you know you've got a problem with that in your family's genetics tree, just be blunt about it. Say, look, I don't drink. Yep. My mom was a drunk. I don't drink. My dad was a drunk. I don't drink. You know, I got alcoholism in my genes. I don't drink. And they're like, oh, are you so sober? No, I don't drink. I'm never drunk. And they're like, you mean you don't get drunk? I don't drink. I mean, I can write this out in triplicate if you want, but this is something I don't do.
The cinnamon extract here. This is the one I was
cinnamon
talking
about. Cinnamon extract
is great. I just want to pull the ingredients up on it. Chromium, American ginseng, alpha lipoic acid, green tea extract, Geneva 5-1, a cinnamon 10-1 aquaceous extract. From alcohol to sugar to junk food cravings to basically high fructose corn syrup cravings, this product is incredible. This has been one of the longest standing products we've had for blood sugar. And one of the reasons, too, we put together is because we also have the cinnamon extract and berberine stack. This is a glucose and fat metabolism melting stack. You want to talk about burning fat? You want to talk about getting your blood sugar under control? You want to talk about getting and doing cardio and exercise and having this compound that? What does if you're doing cardio, you're exercising, you know, you've got this like kind of 1X. Your body's burning fat. You're trying to eat clean. When you take this, it like sends up a giant bottle rocket with it. It also notifies your body, okay, we got blood sugar under control. We got berberine ultimate. We got that high berberine. Now, we can really burn some body fat. And it does a 2X, 3X, 4X effect on it for my personal and for other things that I've seen with it on burning body fat. That's one of the reasons why berberine was on sale today, the product of the week, and now it's changing over. That's why I said earlier at the beginning of the show, also, you got till 3 o'clock today. I need a bunch of votes to break the tie with GHI and Purple Sticks in a can. Anybody you know, anybody's interested in something, let's get them on the site to vote for which one you want to win. Because they're not going to know if they're on the site. It's like, hey, here's a link real quick. Vote on Purple Sticks for me. I've had people do that for me before and stuff. They're like, oh, just sweepstakes. Vote on this. I want to win. Okay, win. So do that for me on here. But when it comes to basically the berberine and the cinnamon extract, those two are incredible as far as stacking them together.
They're great products. Oh, by the way, I was on with John Moore this morning, as I told you earlier, And I asked John, I said, can the United States defeat Iran?
Depends on what kind of conflict.
And I said, without nuclear weapons. Because the entities that run the planet aren't going to let us nuke each other anymore. Anyhow, it's not going to happen. They don't want us doing it. See, we're in a hologram. And so it's an energy field. Nukes have a tendency to really disrupt that.
They disrupt everything.
They don't like you dump. They don't like you detonating nukes in the hologram. It just it does weird things to the holographic image. So they don't want us doing that. That's why they showed up a few back in the 60s with their little spaceships, and they shut down a whole missile silo area. Oh, you didn't hear about that? Look it up. And so Trump says he's exasperated as his top officials at odds over the Iran war strategy because the Iranians, when they die, remember, they get their virgins, I think 70 of them, upon death.
72, I think it is. Isn't
oh,
it?
Well, they're so excited about
they're
that.
They're so excited about that. That seems like a lot of personalities to deal with. I'm going to throw that out there.
You know, if
that's a lot of people to deal with, bro.
If polygamy was real and it was legal and it was okay for Christians to do all that, would I have 72 wives? The answer is absolutely not.
Sounds distracting.
Sounds awful.
Get anything done.
Sounds awful, actually. And these guys, they've been inbred a lot, so their IQs are pretty low. And so they're all excited about it. So when you have a group of people that are willing to jump on grenades and do all kinds of stuff, just
run around with the S vest everywhere. Oh, I don't like him. Clack. Like, bro, there's other ways to have, you know, conversations to handle conflict. We don't have to run around with suicide vests on.
The problem is you got a whole nation that's willing to die for what they believe, but you got to give them credit for that. And then you have a decentralized military with a whole bunch of generals running around with their own little missile cache.
Well, no, from a standpoint on that, it's pretty wild as far as how
Austin,
it operates.
Austin, we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, and they whipped our butt. They whipped the Soviet Union's butt, too. The Soviet Union completely disintegrated because of Afghanistan. It bankrupted the Soviet Union. And, you know, then we decided to go into Afghanistan. The only reason we did that was for poppies. And then once we discovered fentanyl, we left there with our tail between our legs. And that's the only reason we were in Vietnam.
Oh, don't forget, when we left, we armed, basically, the Taliban with, like, the largest weapon cache in existing history.
Yeah.
I had the whole numbers on it. I talked to the guys who verified it. I think we left them 83,000 machine guns. I don't even know how many doggone MRAPs.
Those are helicopters. Those are planes.
Humvees. I mean, thousands and thousands of armored Humvees. We left them helicopters. We left them night vision. We left them body armor. We left them our entire military cache. But, hey, you remember, if you put a stock on your pistol, it's suddenly an SBR. And you got to watch out because, you know, ATF will come after you on that one. But, hey, Taliban's got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of heavy weapons now because of us. But
no, and so we.
It left, makes sense.
So we left Afghanistan. We left Vietnam with our tail between our legs, growing poppy over there. We left, you know, just what we do. CIA runs the world. They run well. They don't run the world. They run the world with organized crime.
They manipulate
crime.
The world. They don't run it. They manipulate. They
with organized crime, CIA, Mossad, and MI6. You know, you got a cachet there of the villains of the world, and so you.
They're professional liars. That's what they do.
Well, they're professional assassins.
They're professional liars. Yeah. Their entire job is to manipulate, obfuscate, and control. That's all they do.
You saw that piece of slime Lindsey Graham yesterday talking to Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yeah.
We watched the video on that.
Do you want me to push Trump to get him to fly with you guys to basically do airstrikes in Lebanon? Netanyahu goes, that's going to push it a little too far. We'll handle that on our own. You guys focus
on that. Now, you think about it. Benjamin Netanyahu is handling it better than one of our own senators did.
Yeah. Now, think about that. Dislike Netanyahu, yeah. He's like, no, it's going to be too much publicity. It's going to look too bad. We don't need to do that. Maybe later, but not now. Lindsey Graham goes, oh, okay, that's good counsel. I'll tell Trump we don't need to include ourselves in your Lebanon bombing.
I don't need to say about this.
You a puppy? You a dog? You on a leash?
Yeah, he is.
He was.
Yeah.
He probably liked that kind of weird
stuff. Well, he liked the little fairy wands, too. It was interesting.
That was...
John said the same thing that he does. Remember, Rome went after Persia. This is Persia we're talking about now with Iran, and Rome couldn't conquer Persia, and that was the greatest military in the history of the world back then. I mean, nobody ever seen anything like that. Legions of troops went into Persia, nothing, back out. You know, so you know when you got a group of people out there, and that was before Muhammad, by the way. That was before Muhammad. That was before the 70 virgin thing.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
That was before Muhammad. And so they still couldn't bring him down. So, you know, when you got a group of people that are willing to fight like that, they're not going to just say, okay, by the way, we're going to... They think we're the great Satan. And actually, our whole military is being run by the people that really kind of are the great Satan. And it's sad to me, but it's true.
This is crazy. Here, I'm going to cover this article. Energy Department now has issued an emergency order to secure power grid in 17
states. Well, yeah, the data centers are sucking the juice out of everybody.
I'm like, you're watching the problem continue to expand, and then you're watching everyone go, we don't know why this is happening. The power grids are shutting down. We have to reduce power intake and consumption. And we haven't even seen AI data centers go into real true effect yet. They've only been operational for the last couple of years as far as going into operation with construction. They're not even a full center yet. Majority of them are still even up and running. And so it kind of sits there and makes you go, is this controlled theater again? Is this wag the dog? Is this, we're having issues with the electric grid while AI data centers are quietly sucking all the power. They're going to tell all the peasants, well, listen, the only way this functions now is you got to get smart meters. And you got to have smart thermostats, and you have to have smart stuff in your home so we can control it. Because they already did this out in Colorado. They've done some multiple areas. You get a thermostat in there, smart thermostat. They tell you, we're going to give you like $12 a month credit to have a smart thermostat. I covered this last year. And then all of a sudden they say, well, by the way, peak hours, your thermostat's going to be restricted to 78 degrees. What? If I'm paying the bill, what does it matter? It's restricted. I mean, now you've got basically the Colorado River now. AI data center's been pulled so much water out of that one. The data center's over there. Arizona, everybody's like, dude, the river's going dry because AI data center. But it's okay because, you'll have better photos on your cloud that move faster with your AI renderings. You can't really make it up, dude, as far as when they're going to this level of just manipulation and lies. So, again, another reason why we've been pushing so back on these. The problem is these AI data centers have huge money behind them. When you got BlackRock, which is a $14 trillion, equity firm, they're managing $14 trillion in assets, and they're backing an AI data center, and the local community wants to file a lawsuit. It's just, how deep of pockets do you want to go? How big of a hole do you want to go with the attorneys? How much cash do you want to sink into it? And that's the problem you run into with this stuff.
It's true. You mean how deep you want to go? In fact, one of Fauci's attorney was first forcibly removed yesterday from the hearings.
Really?
I
missed that.
I just saw that. And so it's funny. It's a video, so I'm not going to drag it up right now. But the crazy part is he must have been pitching a fit to keep Fauci shut up. Yeah, I can't
just
do it. Oh, yeah. By the way.
Shut your mouth.
This is an interesting article, and it's about a guy who's got really bad credit. Okay? And he says, a country that has $40 trillion in debt says that I'm a credit risk, so I'm not allowed to have a safe home. So why can't I get into a freaking apartment? That's what he's saying. He says, I've been trying to get an apartment for 3 months. Because my credit score is too low because I've never taken out a loan in my life. Meanwhile, the government's $40 trillion in debt. And he goes, my friend.
Ironic.
No, this is funny. My friend Maddie over at the Books Behind Borders posted a note this week about how a country that is $40 trillion in debt has the nerve to be assigning her credit score. Well, let me stop for 1 second. The country doesn't assign the credit score. The little hat people assign your credit score. The Kabbalists. I just need to start calling them the cult that rules the world.
That's what they are.
That's what they are. The cult that rules the world assigns the credit score. I mean, it was so funny. I have a friend of mine. He got a new credit card. He wanted to get a Lufthansa card. Then he got a Lufthansa airline points. And so he gets the card out, and there, he asked them specifically to mail him an invoice. He doesn't do online banking. They don't send him an invoice.
Oh, you're right. They didn't send him an invoice on the first invoice with the credit card.
It was the annual fee.
They started everything on paperless from the very beginning. And by the way, watch this, guys. This happened to me with the doggone electric bill with Tico. All of a sudden, arbitrarily, this happened to multiple people I know. Suddenly, they just arbitrarily put you on paperless. Well, I keep everything filed pretty clean. I like paper documents because nobody can go back and say, oh, by the way, that's what the price is now. That's what the bill is now. Now, here's my invoice. This is what it is. Paperless, be really careful with that crap now because these banks are doing this, credit card companies are doing this, electrical companies are doing this. They're automatically putting you on paper without you approving it. They put it on a paperless, and then suddenly they come and say, well, your bill's now $700. Wait a minute, it was $400 last month. Well, you're on paperless. This is what's updated. You start putting stuff on paper, you can't just delete it and change it at a whim.
Well, this guy ended up basically, he called them up and they got this letter in the mail that he was late. He never got the invoice.
They never sent an invoice.
It was for $80.
Paperless.
Yeah.
It was on your online account.
So he called them up and he said, look, I want to have papers delivered to me. And so they said, okay. He says, mail me a paper and I'll pay the $80. Remember, there wasn't a charge. It was an annual fee, and which could be waived. And so they said, okay, well, you have to pay this. And so he got the invoice in, and then he paid it, and he charged some stuff on it the next month trying to get some Lufthansa points. And he didn't get the invoice again.
Put it back on paperless. This was crazy.
And so then he made a couple charges, and he didn't, again, no paperless, no paper. So they sent him another letter. You're late again. He calls them up, and they put him into the credit report thing. And he got no invoice. They dropped him 120 points on his credit report, on his Beacon score. Went from an 820 to a 700 in 1 month.
Well, they told him, we've automatically added you to paperless, but I want paper invoice. Okay, we can add you back to that. But then it's going to just change back to paperless.
He was on the phone. I know this guy. He was on the phone for 4 hours trying to get his stuff resolved. Finally, they took all the fees and the penalties and all this other stuff off. He sent him a check for more than he owed, for like $10 more to cover everything else that they could possibly add to him. And then he told him, from now on, I want paper invoices. And so then he wouldn't use the card again. And guess what? The following month, he still didn't get another invoice. And you're like, what is wrong with these people? It's Barclays Bank. And I thought,
it's happened. I've had it happen multiple times. Tico did it, switched it back again. I had to change it again, go back. It happened to me twice now with them.
And then I had to call them and do it again.
This is all about the little hat paper pinching pennies. They want to go in and say, well, we can save X amount of money on invoices. And that guarantee you, if you look at it, every time they do this, it massively increases their late fees, their transaction fees, their interest fees, all this crap they put on it.
Well, no, it's more than that. They want to have wiring information out of your account.
That's exactly right, too.
That's where the bottom line is. That way they can empty your account anytime they want to.
Because they say that, we'll give you a good credit fee or a good fee on there, or some stupid stuff, if you basically just do auto pay through your bank account.
Yeah.
Which was auto drafted out of your bank account every single month.
By the way, I have another friend of mine who was doing that for his truck payment, and he paid his truck off. Guess what? They kept auto paying out of his account, and his truck was paid for. And he had to fight with him trying to get the money back. I mean, it's unbelievable. That's why I never do online banking like that. I just send him a check. And I don't use a primary check account number. I don't do that. I use a secondary account number with very little money in it, so they can't say, oh, we want the rest of that money. I had another friend of mine, and he was in the airplane business, and he bought a plane, and it was out of state, and he didn't have any sales tax due. And they basically, he paid a penalty to the sales tax people in Florida that he did not owe. They got the check tracking number, and guess what? They took the rest of the money out of his account. It almost emptied his bank account. I saw it happen. I had a friend of mine. It happened to him. He had no choice. He took the money out. And it's just, that's the kind of people that they are. That's why they want you to do automatic drafts. That way they always have access to your bank account, and they can do whatever they want to do. And then you got to fight them for it. Had another guy, he sent a bill in, and they signed for it. He sent it next day air. They lost the check, and then they sent him a penalty. And a credit report thing again. And they have, my friend has a copy of the person who signed for it and all the rest, and now he's having to dispute it, because he went ahead and paid the bill again, and then he had put up a stop payment on the original check. And it goes on and on and on. And it's all about what you said, Austin, late fees and penalties.
Yeah. That's what it always comes down to, man. I remember when
greed and avarice.
What it was. It was a couple of years ago I covered this topic. And it was saying, like, with credit card companies in aggregate over 1 year, just the penalties and late fees. This isn't interest. This isn't other stuff. Just the late fees and penalties equated to, like, $3 or $4 billion for each credit card company. Billion. Every single year. Billion. $3 to $4 billion on average. Just in fees.
What did American Express pay to American Airlines? It was $5 billion or something crazy in 1 year on people using the American Airlines card. So American Airlines now has basically been turned into a credit card company itself. In other words, you gain status with American Airlines and get upgraded to executive platinum if you spend enough money. And because they want that money, because they were making more money as far from a net income standpoint on the credit card fees than they were in their operations. Whoa. Well, it's a huge bottom line boost, isn't it? I remember I was flying one time with American Airlines, and there were a bunch of people in the front. They were all there because of credit cards. They were all executive platinums. And I thought to myself, this is interesting. It's not an airline anymore. It's a credit card processor. And that's one of the reasons, because people love to fly free. That's one of the reasons that we now at Health Masters are putting together a point system so you can earn different credits and different statuses with Health Masters.
Rower bucks.
Yeah.
Own ecosystem.
But you're right, though, Austin. Now we've got all these states, basically, you brought this up a second ago, fearing as 17 states issue are placed under emergency power use. This is why they killed the EV market. Because the power
they
station.
They had to pick one.
They had to pick, they wanted the data centers. They wanted to enslave you with the data centers.
Well, I think they figured the data centers outweigh the control and monitoring of the EV.
The Trump straight lies. Everybody's going to become super wealthy because of the data centers.
Pissed me off the other
night. That's not true. It's not true. And hey, now they're talking about building thousands of them.
I said this in the beginning.
Who's paying for this? Oh, that's right. The little hat people.
Well, yeah, the top three. What happens is they need all these ones that are coming in and they're fighting. And as much as I, this is psychological, this is understanding, this is, you know, the art of war. What they're doing is with these small data centers, these minor ones, when I say small, they're still like, you know, humongous, you know, million square foot building like Amazon. They're doing this in certain areas and they're doing it to set precedent. They're seeing what the roadblocks are going to be in these areas, how hard the pushback's going to be.
We saw that with the mini warehouses.
Yep. And then just like the one in Lakeland. They put together this proposal. They want to put one over in Lakeland. Well, they had a massive blowout in the local community. Like hundreds of people showed up at the city commission meeting in Lakeland because they're putting this like residential area. Well, now I've gotten information that basically there's an area over off I-4 right by Polytech that they pretty much are deeming to put an AI data center because they're not getting any blowback. Because there's no housing around it. It's all zone commercial, and it's going to be an easier spot to put all the stuff in. So what they're doing is they're figuring out where they can shove these things in, and the more they get in, the more lawsuits they win, the more money they spend to override city and county, and more bribes they make, in my opinion. Because quite frankly, some of these city and county commissioners, in fact, when you see some of them, and they're voting unanimously across the board, 7-0 vote in favor of the AI data center that nobody wants and everybody's been fighting about. You got to ask yourself a question. Who behind the scenes is getting nice little Christmas pat bonuses in their pocket at the Christmas party? Because I've never seen any time where you have an unanimous vote on a county or city commissioner board for something that nobody wants unless there's people behind the scenes. And I've seen it personally here in Central Florida. You got a group, everybody shows up every single meeting protesting, mad, pissed off, giving you legitimate reasons why we don't want to have something here. And the county votes, approved, 7-0. But nobody wants it. It's not doing anything positive for the community here. Well, we feel like it'll be a good aspect because we need growth. They always say this. Well, you just need to allow growth to happen, Austin. You need to allow to be able to build and expand for who and what? Who's the benefit?
I'm laughing, Austin. Give me this. Give me this.
Yeah,
give me the middle camera. Give me the. This is, I want this on me and Austin. We're at the meeting. Okay, and you know, and so we're
piss me off, dude.
No, and we're it's like our third or fourth meeting. And finally, they have police standing behind me in Austin.
Literally, that's not armed, by the way. This wasn't like off-duty. This is just full, lieutenant or captain.
And they tell us that they're here for us.
By name. I can't even make it up.
Because he and I have been raising hell so much, literally raising hell.
Graham, I never made threats.
No.
Not one time. I didn't make a threat. I didn't make any type of gestures. I brought up very, very valuable questions that nobody can answer.
Yeah, but the problem is you intimidate them. I mean, you're 6 foot tall. You're over 200 pounds. You're ripped, shredded.
I just don't. Well, everybody's known me my whole life growing up here.
Well, they all know.
I was never known to be the nice guy.
Well, they all knew you were a scrapper. You know, they all knew that, you know, they knew you liked to street fight, which is terrible. I never taught him to do
that. I don't do that.
You don't do that anymore. I know. I know, and that's good. So they all know you, and they know how vocal we are on the show. So they said, had the cops standing behind us just in case they need to escort us out. Give me this middle camera. And I remember I spoke to another man who basically has a huge insurance agency.
Yeah.
And I said, are you going to go protest this with us, these mini warehouses? He goes, it won't do any good. And then I spoke to a former county commissioner. He says, it doesn't matter. If the powers to be, which is the Masonic Lodges, if they want to have this here, there's nothing you can do to stop it. If 60,000 people show up to stop it, they will still vote for the mini warehouses. And I said, no, it won't. He says, yeah, you'll see what happens. And they were right. We have the mini warehouses. Now, mind you, they did get rid of the orange and yellow color.
Well, one thing we did do.
They did get a turning.
I didn't take it as a win, but what we did do, because it went on for almost 2 years, and we raised such hell about it repeatedly every time, they kept coming in and trying to throw us bones to make it better. Because the original plans that they were trying to push through, it was insane.
No turning lanes.
Zero
nothing.
Turning lane. Zero ability to get in or out. Zero coverage on it. There was going to be this big, giant orange warehouse building.
And yellow.
Orange and yellow, and all these different things. And finally, we kept bringing all this valuable stuff up, and then we bring it up. Everybody else would bring it up. Finally,
their attorneys would change it.
Yeah, we'll do this for you guys. It's going to be a great option. We're like, no, still sucks. Still going to get mad about it.
The planning committee basically voted unanimously against
the planning committee. They did. They came and said no.
And then it's funny, the next meeting they have with the city commission, remember the guy from the planning committee has a massive heart attack in the middle of the meeting.
You know, I forgot about that.
Oh, they had to haul him over with an ambulance and a stretcher. Remember that?
I forgot about that.
The planning committee guy had a heart attack. Now, are you saying something nefarious happened? No, I'm not saying that.
No,
at all.
But remember it postponed all that stuff.
But it was that stressful.
And all, but also to postpone. I forgot about that. Really? And they came back and said, we're going to postpone this now.
Yeah. And then, you know.
That was interesting.
And then the city commissioners come in and voted. But it wasn't unanimous, but they voted to put it through again.
Well, it's always funny to me. I've always got a kick out of this. When majority of the people in the county commissioner and city commissioner are all real estate or tied into real estate. I brought that up, too, to one of the guys there at one of the last meetings. His biggest piece of crap our county's ever seen. I mean, he even got in trouble with the county for basically...
The state of Florida took him out of office.
Yeah. And then of course, he went to the Auburndale County Commissioning. City Commissioning. And so, and I told him, I said, who's to gain off this? Putting in another 5,000 houses over here with six-foot setbacks.
With no road.
Seven dwellings per acre.
Two-lane road.
Who's to benefit from this? It's not the community at all. You go, well, you don't stand. He goes, it's going to be based like Celebration. You're going to be able to. He says flat out, you're not going to have to worry about traffic because everybody's just going to use transportation or bicycles.
Total lies.
I said, we're Auburndale. We're an Orange Grove town. The infrastructure isn't even mildly laid out to be a grid like that. Everything's a two-lane road back through the woods. And you guys are making everything, housing. And one thing we did do in the county, we got them to block the basically medium density housing that they were trying to upgrade in the area. That was going to be insane.
They went right down the road and did it again in another place.
They did it again.
Oh, by the way, I heard a priest yesterday talking. And years ago, I knew this woman, and she had these Buddhist statues all over her house. I'm going to give you some teaching here that you need to hear right now. And her life was so disruptive, she was a complete and total loon. Her dog was so schizoid from being around her, they would run away from her every time she came into the house. She had to chase the dog to hold it. And finally, I'm sitting there talking to her one day. The dog jumps in my lap because he just wanted some kind of sanity in his life. I kid you not. And, you know, so it ended up being one of the situations that she's just a weirdo. I don't really associate with her anymore. And I warned her. Her mom was a strong Christian, and she told her, and her mom was living with her, says, you need to get rid of these Buddhist statues. This is another god. You got to get these out of here. No, she doesn't listen, but she didn't listen to anything. She's the same one I told you about. I was going to have both of her breasts cut off now because she might have some chance of getting breast cancer someday down the future. And she's schizoid. She's like, oh, it's just crazy. And you know, so I heard this priest talking about it yesterday, and he said there are things that you have to do in your bedroom at night and in your home. And this is interesting. Now, here's what he said. He says, never have a mirror facing your bed.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
No, I'm going to go into detail with this. Mirrors are used by the occult for portals. Remember that one Keanu Reeves movie? And they have to use that mirror to get that demon to come out of the woman. It goes into that portal.
Yeah, yeah.
And he throws it out the window. And he says, you don't put mirrors. And this guy's an exorcist, by the way. He actually drives demons out.
I don't have mirrors facing my bed. I was thinking about that old setup on it, but okay.
Yeah, but so and then he says, no mirrors in your bedroom at all, period. None facing the bed.
None in your bedroom?
Not facing the bed at all. None.
That's odd. Okay.
Because he said they're portals. And I remember I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. And, you know, as below, as above, so below. They're used in all these occult ceremonies. Then he said, never, ever have devices like telephones and tablets and TVs in your room because they're a distraction. They put out a lot of blue light. And a lot of times people get involved with this stuff and they, you know, get what we talked about. They start ignoring their spouse and they start watching the TV.
Well, that
all
is
time.
True. Well, you're wrapped up on their iPad all
you,
night.
Well, no, he says, don't have this stuff in there. Now, I'm going to say one more thing. That affects the pineal gland and production of melatonin, too. He didn't bring that up. And then he said, don't ever have religious or spiritual objects from other religions in your home.
I agree with that.
Like Buddha statues. And it was so funny. I told this woman, I said, you got to really get rid of this crap. And she goes, I'll never do that. They're not blah, 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 blah. Well, her whole life's a disaster. And, you know, but, you know, he was right about that. And then he said something interesting. He said, don't allow your bedroom to be cluttered and be disorganized.
He
said, don't have clothes hanging over everything. I know this one woman, she's a complete loon, and she's married. She was married to this guy, and they got mad at each other, and she stuck him in the doghouse. You think I'm joking? I'm not. They had a shed outside that the dog stayed in, and she put him in the doghouse. And, of course, they're divorced now. And their house was always cluttered and disorganized. And, you know, clutter and disorganization causes conflict and makes your brain get all wrapped up in that mess. Don't allow yourself to be involved with that. But he said that was, don't have any mirrors facing your beds, no devices, phones, tablets.
The clutter was big. I can honestly tell you this. This is true confessions. longest times while we were traveling a lot in and out for about a couple of weeks, and bedroom got real cluttered. Mm-hmm. So I had luggage everywhere. I had gear everywhere. Mm-hmm. I had stuff on the thing. And I remember one day I got sick of it. I was doing something. I went into full hyper mode. Now, I'm not the most organized person, but I'll get in a mood sometimes, and I get everything like real OCD. I mean, it's like, bum, 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 bum. And I went through a full blown, me and Landa cleaned everything, and the bedroom was like perfect. And I remember I walked back in later that night, and I remember feeling
peace. That's why you make your bed every morning.
Yeah.
Listen to me. When you get out of bed, just make the bed. It takes 20 seconds.
They say this with making your bed. I'm a really big proponent of that because here's why. What it does is it triggers your brain first thing in the morning. You've already completed a task, right?
That's right.
You've already, because I always have a list of things. I always have a 5x7 every day that I go through with all my stuff at the office, all stuff I got to get done, and I check it off. And one of the reasons why I do that, I slash through it, is because what it does is it rewards your brain with a little bit of reward dopamine naturally because you're going, okay, this is done. This meeting's over. Podcast is over with, got this done, went and did this, inventory contractors taken care of. And by the end of the day, you look it down, everything's checked off, and you go, heck yeah, I got 25 things done today. And what happens is your brain gets really satisfied with doing that, and it wants to do it again the next day. So suddenly you put another list together, and your brain goes, oh, heck yeah, bed's done, this is done, podcast is done, this is done. And all of a sudden, again, at the end of the day, you go, got more stuff done. So make sure you guys are staying organized with your time. The thing is, you don't have to be working wide open in most cases, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day. There's a lot of times you notice if you get focused, you'll get the vast majority of the stuff you need to get done in a 2-3-4 hour period many times if you're efficient, focused, and organized with it. Most people confuse activity with accomplishment.
There you go.
They stay so wrapped up with having all these little things they're trying to do, when in reality, if they set them up structurally and said, okay, I'm starting this at 8, 8:15, 8:30, at 20, blah, 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 blah. And also by noon, it's like, well, heck, everything's done. Normally, it took me till 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night to get home to finally finish this, and I'm going to lunch, and today's finished. Well, now what it does, that gives you a whole other rest of your day to focus on other things.
Yeah, John Henry Fabre was a French naturalist back in the 1800s. He took a flower pot, and he took processionary caterpillars, and he lined them around the top of the flower pot like this. I mean, they're called processionary because they follow each other in one line. And they followed each other around the line. Now, in the middle of the flower pot were pine needles, which is their natural food. And they followed each other in a straight line around the pot, never exploring the top of the pot because they're traveling around. And they were very, very busy for about 2 or 3 days, and they dropped dead of exhaustion and starvation.
With pine needles right
with
there.
With pine needles right there. They confused activity with accomplishment.
Yeah.
They were busy, 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 but they didn't accomplish anything. A lot of people have too many things in the fire at once, and they can't get anything done right. Sometimes you got to cut the schedule back. Your kids don't need to be in 10 sports.
That's truth.
Now, listen to me. They don't need to be in karate and jiu-jitsu and tennis and rugby and football
focus
and baseball.
On a, focus on a good one. Kids need activity. They need athletics. Mm-hmm. Focus on a primary sport and push all into it. Because here's the problem when you do this with kids, too. It teaches them at a young age to be basically a...
focused.
Well, yeah, they teach them to be, oh, I'm always doing different things. Not really good at any of them, but I do all these different things. When they get older, they're never focused on a specific task they can get done. And then people go, well, they got ADHD. No, they're so used to having to try to manage 10 different things at one time, they can never actually get their focus on one thing.
People ask me this question literally hundreds of times. What are you doing now, Ted? What do you mean? For work, what are you doing? Same thing I've been doing since 1981. What do you mean? No, the same company, the same thing, the exact same thing. What do you mean? Okay, well, I guess I'm not communicating. Healthmasters.com, Rowershow.com, same thing. People can't focus on one thing. They have to have like 25 irons in the fire, and they never accomplish anything. And they wonder why their lives are in disarray and why they're always broke. Stay focused on something that can help you to secure your future and work at it with all of your heart. Zwei Leben stützen, brechen nie, mein Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie. Two principles of life that can never be broken. Gebet, prayer, work, Arbeit. And so you got to work like it's all up to you and pray like it's all up to God and stay focused. That's what you got to do. It's so important, guys.
No, it is, my friends. And that's one of the reasons why we put together this podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Our pictures are beside Fauci. Ugh,
hey,
gosh.
We look a lot better than
him. Oh, we look better than him.
Gosh, he looks like a clown show. There's the reason why, though, we put these shows together on here. We have them. And we're coming up on our 3,000th podcast this year sometime. figure when that happens.
We got something big scheduled.
We'll do something big, especially with this points reward system.
At 2000, we did Angel Wars.
A little Brewer Show ecosystem. Oh, again, mind you guys, please vote for the product of the week till 3 o'clock today. I need a hard vote. It's tied between GHI and Purple Sticks. I'm giving you guys 3 hours, well, 4 hours, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The main winner wins at this point, but I want a hard, definitive answer. GHI or Purple Sticks, y'all make it happen. Make your friends make it happen, and give us the answer that I want to hear from you. I'll do a big sale on it later on this evening. Appreciate you guys. Thank you again. Talk to you again tomorrow, as always.
And keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life, for he is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. We can do all things through Christ. I love you guys. Thank you for your support. If it weren't for you guys, we wouldn't be here. I appreciate you.